your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Find Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. I am going to try to keep the message short. We do want to practice what we preach, so we're going to talk about singing unto the Lord, and then we want to take advantage of an opportunity tonight to do that. The Bible has a lot to say about worship. When you think about trying to bring a short message on worship, that's really more challenging than you might realize, because we could start from Genesis, we could walk through almost every book that you could imagine in Scripture and learn something about praising and worshiping our God. And we're going to focus in on a few verses here. But anybody who's been saved for any amount of time, how many of you love the Psalms? And you love the Psalms because that's basically the songbook of the Scriptures. That's what a psalm is. It's a song. And those who came before us, they spent time singing those things. We've long lost the music that went with them, and it's very likely that they had different sets of music that went with that. But they had the lyrics, and they would set that to music, and they would sing together. That's how they worshipped in the Old Testament. It's how they worshipped during the New Testament time when they went to synagogue. Jesus would have sang hymns from the Psalms with his disciples many times, but especially we know that they did on the night that he was betrayed. They sang a hymn and went out into the garden, and so our Savior sang. And we ought to be men and women and boys and girls who sing. Music is really a great gift from God. God uses it to speak to our hearts. And really, we know the Spirit of God inhabits the praises of his people. And so it's a vital part that we want to make sure that we understand biblically. And so I want to just look through this with you now. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God." Now, just let me try to walk through this as quickly as I can. We, as part of walking circumspectly, walking carefully in the walk that we ought to have as Christians, part of that's going to be dying to ourselves and being filled with the Spirit. We want to die to ourselves and be filled with the Spirit of God. And you'll notice that when you're filled with the Spirit, the next thing that happens is speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when you're in your heart and mind, when your life is filled with God's Spirit, the natural response to that is to sing. Amen. The natural response to that is to praise and worship the Lord. Speaking to yourselves. Remember, this letter is written to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at every place. So he's saying, as a group of people, as a group, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is primarily, we're going to see, to the Lord, but it's also to encourage one another. Isn't it encouraging to have a time of worship? Amen. Have you ever been part of a worship service where it seemed like everybody was singing and everybody was worshiping, and there wasn't a whole lot of distraction, and there wasn't a whole lot of people nodding off, and there wasn't a whole lot of people not really paying attention, but everyone in the room was focused on lifting up the name of Jesus? Have any of you ever experienced that? Can I just tell you, that ought to be the experience that we have every time we come together. It ought not be that you're nodding off or that you're digging through your purse or you're looking at something on your phone or you're not paying attention. When it's time to worship Jesus, you ought to sing. And it's a glorious thing when we all get to sing together. And I can already hear some of you knuckleheads right now in your head, "Well, I just don't sing very good." Well, I can't find in the Bible where it says sing to the Lord unless you don't think you can sing well. If you find that verse in your Bible, throw that Bible in the trash, because it's not true. That's right. Listen, I get it. You're worried about what everybody else thinks. But it ought to be that you love Jesus and you want to worship Jesus and you ought to sing from your heart to the Lord. Because we want a part of it. Part of this singing is to encourage one another, speaking to yourselves. It's not just singing to yourself. It's yourselves, plural, that we would encourage one another. And then he says, singing and making melody. Singing is part of it. The melody is part of it. It's music. And it's music that is also vocal. We're blessed to have music, to have instrumentation, and we're blessed to be able to put our voices with it in singing. And notice he says, in your heart. In your heart. Now, some of you have understood that to mean, oh, well, that just means singing inside your heart and you don't actually sing out loud. But that would be a direct contradiction to what the words mean. It's you might understand it better if you read it this way, singing with your hearts. The idea is that you're not just saying words, but that your heart's in it. Sing from your heart. Sing with your heart to the Lord. Everybody with me right now? Can everybody just read these words in the Bible? You see that this isn't Pastor Isaac. This is just what the Bible says. I'm trying to work through some of your stubbornness because y'all are Baptist and Baptists are stubborn. And I can't, man, I'm just telling you, I've heard it. I've never sang before. I'm not going to start now. Well, maybe if you repent, then you could start singing to the Lord. Sing with your heart to the Lord. Has God done anything worth praising him for? I mean, has he just done anything good at all in your life that you think he would be worthy of praise? Well, if you have anything good in your life at all that came from him, we have received mercy. We have received grace upon grace. And he is worthy of all praise and worship. We talk about that idea of worship. That's really a part of that meaning, is to ascribe worth to. What we're doing when we worship the Lord is we are recognizing that he is worthy. That's where you are worth everything. The idea of worship also has the idea of bowing down. It's to prostrate yourself. It's to bow down. It's really a weird word in the Greek. It puts together an idea of bowing down to, and it has a root word that has to do with the dog. And it literally has the idea of this. When your dog comes up to you and licks your hand, you guys, anybody have dogs? Anybody have your dog come up to you and lick your hand? That's really what worship, the word literally, is describing. Is to be down low and come to your master low. And some of you are like, what are you saying? We should be like dogs? Well, friends, we're talking about us compared to him. That probably doesn't paint a low enough picture of us. So we speak to ourselves, singing and making melody in our hearts, with our hearts, and ultimately it's this, to the Lord. Yeah, we want to encourage one another with our spiritual songs. We want to encourage one another with our worship, but ultimately our worship has to be to God. Now, I've heard my whole life that the worship prepares our hearts to receive the message of God. I want you to listen carefully. That is a byproduct of genuine worship. If you will really worship God, it will prepare your heart to receive the word of God. That's true, but that's not the primary purpose. That's not what it's for. To praise God and to sing to God and to worship God is to glorify him. That's what it's for. Now, if you do that, it will change your heart. It will prepare your heart, but that's not what the purpose of it is. Now, here's where we get kind of mixed up, friends. We start talking about worship, and all I ever hear about is, well, I don't like that kind of music, and I don't like that kind of song, and I don't. Well, we're already messed up if we're talking about worship and we're saying I. We're already mixed up. It's not about what I like. And it's not about what you like. It's about worshiping him. Amen. He gives us three specific ways here. He says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it's really tough to study this out because the Bible doesn't really define all of these for us. Now, psalms, that's easy. There's a whole book of those. We know what psalms are, right? Y'all still with me? I know I've preached a long time already, but try to stay with me. Psalms, we got a whole book. We know what those are. Those are literally the Old Testament psalms set to music. But I think it goes beyond that, because what we're talking about is vocal music in general, especially songs that are derived from the scriptures. So psalms are when we sing the Bible. So it could be an Old Testament psalm, but really anytime you take scripture and set it to music, that's singing a psalm. And by the way, don't you love that? I think the most important thing of any song is that it's scriptural. It needs to be biblical. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings too bad tonight, but we need to really carefully examine all of the songs that we sing, that they're scriptural. They're scriptural. And when you just take a Bible verse and put it to music and sing it, like, hey, you can't hardly mess that up. That's good. And then he talks about hymns. A hymn is properly a song, or the Greek word is ode. It's an ode in honor of God. It comes from a form of a word called judeo, which means to celebrate. So it's a celebration, but it's something that is directly in honor of God. So you might remember it like this. A hymn is something you sing directly to him. Amen. Did you guys get that? Like, it's a play on words. They're spelled different, but they sound the same. A hymn is something that we sing directly to him. So in other words, if you just were to sing that song, it would be a prayer. Those are hymns. By the way, if we're singing to glorify him and to worship him, that's probably a good way to do it. Singing psalms. Singing hymns directly to him, to glorify him, to honor him, to celebrate him. And then he says spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are odes or songs relating to spiritual things. And an ode is properly a short poem or song adapted to be set to music or to be sung. In other words, a lyrical poem. Now these were probably, like I said, this one's hard to define, but these were most likely songs that were of a personal testimony. These are songs not necessarily directly to God, not necessarily directly derived from Scripture, but just about spiritual things, and they were designed to encourage one another. Now, we agree that that's a good thing, right? But can I just, I want to admonish you tonight that our music should primarily and heavily be balanced or out of balance in favor of glorifying God. Amen. That ought to be primary. Spiritual songs are good. Encourage one another is good. But that is never going to be the primary purpose of worship. Now, this is a command from God. Sing. Sing to the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Sing. Sing a new song. Sing an old song. Sing a biblical song. Sing a scriptural song. Sing a spiritual song. But sing from your hearts to the Lord. Now, none of that's going to happen. None of that's going to be a way that glorifies God unless it's in spirit and in truth. Jesus told the woman at the well that there was coming a time, and the time was then, that true worshipers would worship God in spirit and in truth. He says it's not going to matter whether you're in Jerusalem or if you're in Samaria. It's not going to matter where you are. What's going to matter is your spirit and the heart, the truth behind it. So how do we want to worship him tonight? In spirit and in truth. Amen. We want to sing from our hearts, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So tonight, together. Tonight, when you go home with your family. Tonight, when you wake up, may God give you a new song. Don't you love it when you wake up with a good song in your mind? Amen. Tomorrow, as you go through your day, when you're driving in your car, when you're around the house, sing. Sing to the Lord. Hey, anytime, everywhere is a good time to worship God. But we especially are blessed to have time together. So I just want to encourage you from your heart, sing to the Lord tonight. Don't let anything distract you. When it's time to sing, sing. And let your voices be heard to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time together. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. I pray that you would show us where we fall short in worshiping you and in praising you. And Lord, help us to just truly be in awe of your goodness, that we would bow before you, that we would humbly come before the throne in the name of Jesus, but that we would celebrate your goodness to us, that we would sing and make a joyful noise before you tonight and every day. Lord, that we would just magnify and glorify your name in song. Thank you for the gift of music that we can play and we can sing and we can worship. And I pray that tonight as we sing and worship together that you'll get all the glory. Forgive us where we fall short and help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dean, come and lead us in some worship. We're going to practice what we preach. So now we're going to do it.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands, pull the nails that been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for
My goodness, y'all are quiet. Thank you all so much for allowing us to worship together with you and to fellowship. It's been a wonderful blessing. And I've known Isaac since he was just little, and he's a special person. Amen. The Lord's been good to you. I'm going to sing one or try to entitled, I'm Going to Need a Hand. Said it was okay, didn't you? This is a song that Valerie wrote entitled God is in Control.
Below the deck while waves are crashing in, they woke him up. Amen. Appreciate those specials so far. It's such a blessing. We're going to sing one all together tonight, page 61 in the Tan Hymnal, How Great Thou Art.
My Savior God to thee, how great
Up and then the older youth come up and help Ben sing. Ben's gonna help you.
Do you guys ever look at the bottom of the pages to see who wrote the songs and when they wrote them? So the words were, I just found out 30 seconds ago, but a guy named Carl wrote the words to that song in 1886. And I would assume that when he wrote those words down, he would have never dreamed that in some place called Oklahoma, 150 years later, we would be singing that song. Amen. But how many of you are really glad that he wrote the song, How Great Thou Art?
Amen.
And I'm thinking about Sister Valerie, that song, you wrote a great song. And I'm thankful that people are still writing songs.
Amen.
Because who knows, 150 years from now, the songs that someone writes today could be the old classic that everybody loves. And isn't that weird to think about?
Amen.
That we're going to be a distant memory at some point. But man, I love the words to music because, I mean, How Great Thou Art is a moving song.
Amen.
And I love seeing the Lord. We're going to sing this as a special / congregational song. This is a new song. I taught it to them at Forge last week, and so they've sang it once, so they're feeling really confident right now. But the words are going to be up there for you. This song is older than How Great Thou Art, but I couldn't find it in any songbook, so it feels new. It's actually like 200 years old, so that's how it goes. It's called Here Is Love Vast as the Ocean. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. Will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal day. Let's all pause. We've all heard it now, right? There's three verses in this song, and they're all exactly like that. So now it's an old song to us. Let's sing it together again. Verse 1.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. The floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life to be thy praise. Thou alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me. Thou thyself hast set me free.
Amen.
This song is old too, and this is one of my favorites. I'm gonna play it one day on the guitar, so.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
I don't normally sing "You're Welcome." It's not fair to have to listen to me preach and sing, but it's a special night. So I talked about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This would definitely be a spiritual song, and it has to do with encouraging others to come to faith in Christ. So hope anyone here who doesn't know Christ will listen. And maybe it'll encourage all of us who do know Christ to be more evangelistic. I don't have it all together. Sometimes I find myself asking why, oh why, but I know we don't have forever, so I'd be a fool to let this moment pass us by. So at the risk of sounding crazy, let me ask you, if you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you would believe, it changes everything. If you die tonight, so you can call me narrow-minded, but I believe that in your heart there lies the proof. And if you look down deep, you'll find it, an empty place that is pointing to the truth. You can hear his voice inside you, gently asking, if you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you would believe, it changes everything. If you die tonight, say I need you. I can't live without you. Come and fill my life with your glory. Say I need you. I can't live without you. Come and fill my life with your glory. Say I need you. I can't live without you. Come and fill my life with your glory. Say I need you. I can't live without you. Come and fill my life with your glory. If you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you just believe, it changes everything. If you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you just believe, it changes everything. If you died tonight, if you died tonight, if you died tonight.
Amen. That's it? You can't end with me.
Sweet. Anybody else want to sing? End on a high note? All right. Let's stand together.